This morning, I've chosen a text. Some of it's very familiar, and some of it we would sooner ignore than look at. It's found in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And I've entitled this morning's message, Children of God Experience His Love. If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word this morning and have your Bibles turn to 1 John chapter 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous just as He is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. And this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does what is right is not... Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God. Nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word today. Thank you that your word is eternal and it's forever settled in heaven, and that according to the word of God, we will be judged one day. And Father, help us to know it, to believe it, and to obey it in our daily walk. And Father, I ask today that you would cleanse me from my sin. And Lord, I ask that the Holy Spirit would just come and rain on us today and on me, that your word may have its way in each heart and mind today and draw us to Christ. And Lord, all the glory and honor and praise goes to you. In Jesus' name, amen. May be seated. You know, Cody just about took all my thunder this morning, that little bit he said. Good job. And this morning's message, Children of God Experience His Love. We're going to be looking at the role of the Father, the role of the Son, Jesus Christ, and the role of the Holy Spirit. And this first part of the role of the Father is that He bestows His love upon us. Verse 1a. I like the way the King James and the New International Verse describe this. The Father has lavished His love upon us. I like that word lavished. And the word lavished means to bestow something in generous or extravagant quantities on us. Can you grasp that? He lavishes his love upon us generously and extravagantly upon us. You know what? You're really loved. And we don't even know how much we're loved. It's hard to fathom. The wonderful love of Jesus lavished it upon us. Scripture says in Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us unconditionally. He loved us unconditionally with all of our flaws and faults. He loved us. There's some verses in Lamentations chapter 3, 22 and 23. They've become some of my favorite verses recently. And we're going to sing those verses this morning. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, okay? You ready? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Amen. And his mercies never come to an end. When you got up this morning, his mercies were fresh and new for each one of us. How wonderful that God not only loves us, but he looks at us in mercy with compassion. My, how good it is to be loved by God. Second, he calls us children. He calls us his own children. Verses 1b and 2a. It says in 1 John 1:12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I want to get something straight today in this world of universal salvation. People say, well, everybody's a child of God. No, they're not. We are all a creation of God, but only those who receive him and believe in him are children of God. Did you get that? You need to receive him and believe him to be a child of God. Believers are fathered by God. Despite all our iniquity, our selfishness, and sinfulness, he has called us his own children. What a great privilege. Dale, you're a child of God because you know me. You know my Jesus. It says here, the world may not recognize us, but remember Jesus was also hated by the world and they did not know him. It says in John 15, 18 and 19, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. We don't belong to the world. We belong to Christ. And if you're trying to live like a Christian on Sunday and try to fit in with the world on Monday through Saturday, you might be called a misfit. Why do I say that? Because if you're with the Christians, you'll feel uncomfortable, and the world doesn't want you. It's either or, right, Cody? It's either or. And a lot of people are trying to live in both places today. God help us. The third thing is that He will someday make us like Jesus. Can you imagine someday being like Jesus and seeing Him just as He is? It's hard to grasp, isn't it? We're going to be like Him, perfect, holy, righteous, and we're going to see Him as He is. I'm looking forward to that day. I remember when my mother died, I was by her bedside. She looked up at the ceiling, and her face was smiling, and she was radiant. She was radiant. And I don't know what she saw, but I believe she saw the face of Jesus. And I couldn't communicate with her at that time. She was so far away. And shortly after that, she passed away. You know what? Her faith became sight. And she got to see Jesus. And she is like Him today. That's our hope. That's the hope of every believer. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, no eye has seen, no ear heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. I believe, friends, that God wants to show us so much more. The Holy Spirit wants to show us so much more about heaven than we're even willing to be taught. He would love to show you more. But maybe we're not all that interested. He would love to show you more of His glories. Would you like to see more? The Holy Spirit is willing to teach you. And then in this same text here in verse 9. No, not verse 9. Verse 3. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Everyone who has this hope in Jesus purifies himself, for He is pure. We hear a lot about hope today. Well, when I die, I hope I'll get to heaven. When I die, I hope I'll be good enough. I want to tell you that hope is not a mere wish. Hope is an unshakable confidence concerning the future. Amen? That's hope. We don't see it, but we believe it. It's an unshakable confidence regarding the future. You know, all the stuff that's going on, it really concerns me. But I have a hope that's much greater. How about you? The Apostle Paul, and as he was very close to death in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. That's hope. Then we're going to look at the role of the Son, Jesus Christ, verses 4 and 5, and verse 8 of our text. He died for our sins. Sin is lawlessness. Did you get that? Sin is lawlessness. Sin is any thought, word, and deed contrary to God's holy word. Today we are seeing it firsthand in real life. We are seeing lawlessness and rioting and disputes in the way people live. They are rebelling. That's what they're doing. And the scripture says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Serious stuff. And here he says it's sin. Lawlessness is sin. Jesus appeared in human flesh, living a perfect and righteous life without sin. He gave his life blood and sacrifice to God to remove the guilt of our sins, and was raised from the dead so that we might know that the Father accepted the Son as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In him, there is no sin. And for us, there is no condemnation. Reminds me of the adulterous woman. It says she was caught in the very act. And all the religious leaders had gathered around her and they were about to stone her. But guess who shows up? Jesus. And Jesus starts writing on the ground. To this day, we don't know what he wrote. But it had to be some mighty powerful words. Because all of a sudden, those religious leaders started dropping their stones one by one. And they started walking away. And Jesus asks the woman, "Does no man condemn you?" And she responded and said, "No one, no one." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Words of grace to her. "I don't condemn you. Just don't go and do it again. Okay? Learn your lesson." And the same is true with our Jesus. When he takes our sin away, he says, "No condemnation." Second, he came to destroy the works of the devil, verses 3-8. "He who does what is sinful is of the devil, and the devil has been sinning from the beginning." And the reason the Son of God appeared was that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus had a task to do, to destroy the works of the devil. And he defeated him at the cross. Even though Satan is still deceiving people, his goal would be that every one of us would spend eternity in hell with Satan. That's his goal. But Jesus came and defeated him. And we too can be victors in Christ Jesus. And over in John 18:37, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. That discussion they had between Pilate and Jesus. And we're going to look at the role of the Holy Spirit. Turn and look at verse 24. "Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us." You know, each one of us should have a witness of the Spirit, and people will know that Christ lives within us. It should be obvious. The work of the Holy Spirit is to call, enlighten, sanctify, and preserve us. The Holy Spirit teaches us, leads us, guides us, convicts us of our sin, and can keep us faithful unto the end. Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Isn't it good to know that God can keep us to the very end? What a comfort. The Holy Spirit is continually at work within us when we know Jesus as our Savior. Help us to be sensitive to His leading. You know, the longer you grow as a Christian, the smallest of sins should affect our conscience. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit. And then we get to the end here and ask a question in verses 6a and 7 and 9. How can we know we are truly saved? You know, I think that's one of the great things and one of the problems of the Lutheran Church for a long, long time is that they haven't had this assurance to know that they're saved. And I believe that's a problem with a lot of people today. And no one, it says, no one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. Let no one lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. Our lives should show if we are followers of Christ. The believer's life is characterized not by sinning, but by doing what is right. The evidence should be one of obedience, and it should be reflected on how we speak and act. Obedience. All throughout the Old Testament, Jesus talks about obedience. I want obedience rather than sacrifice. He requires obedience of us. The Word of God requires obedience of us. And it should be reflected in every one of our lives as how we live and act. People are watching. You know, it's not that we don't have freedoms in Christ. We have lots of freedom. But I know in my own life, I don't drink. There's a lot of things I do, don't do. But the reason is the love of Jesus motivates me not to do those things because I might cause one of you people that I have preached to for years to fall. And I don't want that to happen on my watch because you're all so precious to me, all of you. And He also gives an answer in this last section. The one who lives continuously in sin is not of God. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. That also shows up in our lives, doesn't it? When we sin. And if you're a habitual sinner, you don't know God. He who does what is sinful is of the devil. And no one who is born of God will continue to sin, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Wow. Do you love your brothers and sisters here? Can you say that with a true heart, that you love each other? Because no one who continues to sin should hate his brother. In closing, I want to read the Old Testament text that's tied into this. It's found in Ezekiel 18. Some very powerful words. Ezekiel 18, 30 and through 32. Therefore, O house of Israel, I will judge you each according to his ways, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart, O house of Israel, a new heart and a new spirit. Get it. Okay? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent and live. That's a good word. If you are sinning, repent. And let the love of Jesus flow through you to the glory of God. Just remember, he lavished his love on you. He calls you his children. He took care of your sin at the cross. He won the victory over sin, death, and Satan. And he wants us to live in obedience. And we are to be his witnesses every day to the glory of God in his precious name. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you that your word shows us not only how we can be saved, but how we can live. Thank you that your word shows us how much you love us. That we are your children and we're precious and we're loved in your sight. Lord, help us to walk in your ways. To be good witnesses. And to display the love of Christ to all we meet. In his name I pray. Amen.